Good morning. It is Monday, August the 5th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And before we get going this morning, I want to say a very special happy birthday to one who may be our youngest sower on the wake-up call. Abigail Silvers. Abigail regularly texts me through her mom, and she made the journey a 5-hour trip with her mom and her dad to come over to Good News Church in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida, when I was there a Sunday a week ago. She said she wanted to come for her birthday. So happy birthday, Abigail. You're the best, and I love you. Well, it's time to consecrate ourselves here before the Lord on Monday, a new week in front of us. So let's pray. Wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, On Forging a Faith That Runs Deeper Than My Experience. Our text is Acts chapter 26 this week. Acts chapter 26, our verses will be verses 1 through 6 today. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Agrippa said to Paul, You have permission to speak for yourself. So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Today's text has me asking myself a question. Is my faith anything at all like Paul's faith? I don't mean that in terms of intensity or boldness or quality or some other pietistic marker. That's a poor measure of faith anyway. The big question concerning faith is, what is the object of faith? What do we have faith in? Jesus? Yes. That everything is going to work out? If I'm honest, my faith can often be more about my avoidance of suffering and my success in life than it is about the bigger picture Jesus is bringing about. Paul's faith was in Jesus for sure, but it was way beyond the successful outcome of his painful struggles. Paul's faith led him to a certain hope in a much larger and more particular outcome. It was not just going to heaven when he died. No, Paul's hope was in the end game, the resurrection of the dead. He placed his faith in Jesus for one reason alone. Jesus was raised from the dead. Paul's faith in Jesus did not result from Jesus coming through for him in the past or because Jesus lived within his heart. While these things were true in Paul's experience, Paul's faith was not in his experience. Paul's faith was in the certainty of a particular event in the future. Paul's hope was not in his hopefulness that the resurrection of the dead would one day happen. In the resurrection of Jesus, the future was no longer in the future. It had begun. Paul hoped decisively and unflinchingly in a future event because he had already witnessed it happen in the present. I want you to read and now hear Paul's words below, slowly, deliberately, and aloud so your ears can hear it. This is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 19. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Paul didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead because Jesus was raised from the dead. He believed in Jesus because he believed in the resurrection of the dead. Trust me, this is not a circular argument. Let's keep going, verses 20 to 26. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Friends, this faith we share is not primarily about our personal experience of God, as important and essential as that is. No, the vision is infinitely larger. We hope in the final upending of sin and death and evil, and we aren't hoping it's going to happen someday. No, it actually began happening on a certain day, the day Jesus was raised from the dead. Sin has lost its power. Death has lost its sting. 1 Corinthians 15, keep going, 55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how much longer it may take, we are in the end game. Jesus is Lord, seated at the right hand of the Father. He sends his Spirit in wave on wave on wave of the ever-present, pregnant possibilities of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We live in the age of the Spirit, where nothing is impossible with God. Paul's faith was all about the end game. I don't know about you, but too often for me, faith is mostly about hoping God will solve my problems today. Sure, He cares about our problems, and He can solve them, and He will give sufficient grace when He does not solve them. It's just all so much bigger than my little victories and my little battles. Jesus is forging a faith in us that runs deeper than the ups and downs of our experience, even our experience of Him. Here's where we are going. Our faith is less anchored in the hope that God is going to work out all our life's problems to our satisfaction, and more anchored in the fact that Jesus has already won. He has now worked out the intractable problems of sin and death in the present and for eternity. Faith is activating that victory in the present, which empowers me to persevere by His Spirit toward winning the war, even when everything tells me I'm losing all the battles. This is the heavenly vision, the heavenly vision Paul is bringing before King Agrippa and before us. Will we see it? Will we go for it? The prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. This means I must be filled with you. And to that end, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. Yes, Jesus, I receive your grand story and release my stuckness in my limited little story and my insistence that you work that all out today. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength, so that my consecration becomes your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary, for the glory of God our Father. Amen. Our journal prompts today: does your faith tend to rise and fall based on the level of difficulties and hardships in your life, or even on your experience of feeling the presence of God with you? How important does the fact of the resurrection of the dead and the new creation figure into your faith? And if not, why not? And if not, so what? And what now? Well, that was a lot, my friends, for a Monday. That was a lot for a Monday. I'll admit it. And it's very challenging. I'm super challenged myself, as I think you can tell from my own confessional tone with it. we've just all grown up in the age of self-help. And it's interesting, like if you go into a bookstore, oftentimes, if you can even find a bookstore anymore, but oftentimes you'll find the Christian section of the bookstore right next to the self-help section. That tells us something. It tells us how the world has seen and understands the Christian faith. Doesn't understand it really in the category of the future and world history and cosmology and the working out of all things for the glory of God in the history of the world. We're not in that section, unfortunately. But where should the Christian section be in the bookstore? Answer. It shouldn't be in any section. It should infiltrate the entire bookstore, because these truths of our faith impact every single iota, every dimension of life. But we have it, unfortunately, in our day and age, it has evolved or devolved, as the case may be, to the section right next to the self-help section. And really, it's just its own subcategory, and this is a problem. Christianity is not self-help. I mean, self can't help, right? It's the gospel of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. All right, that's even more from Monday. Guys, we got to get going. We got to get out into Monday. It's Abigail's birthday, okay? Happy birthday, Abigail. And I don't know, I feel led right now even to sing to Abigail. We're going to sing a quick happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Abigail. Happy birthday to you. And she represents the future, friends. Not just the future, she is the present, but she's 4 today, 4 years old. This brings me back to the Eutychus Project. Guys, this is where we got to be sowing our lives forward. So, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to close out this morning singing. We're going to sing a doxology. Just glory to God. You ready? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All right, we've got the muscle memory and the soul memory. Now let's just sing it unto the Lord. Let's just get in touch with the God who is and was and is to come, who is making all things new, who is now putting His enemies underneath His feet as a footstool, right? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Keep singing that. That's a song for the road today as you're sowing the seeds of awakening. It's interesting, guys. As I left Abigail, I was able to go to lunch with her after church Sunday or so ago there. And as I said goodbye, you know what she said to me? She looks up and she says, "I'll see you on the field, JD." God bless Abigail. And God bless you. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.